Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 7. In this chapter, we have Ezekiel's second prophetic sermon predicting God's coming judgment upon Judah and Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. My eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity, but I will repay your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, a disaster, a singular disaster. Behold, it has come. An end has come. The end has come. It has dawned for you. Behold, it has come. Doom has come to you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come. A day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury, and spend my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will repay you according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes. Behold the day. Behold, it has come. Doom has gone out. The rod has blossomed, pride has budded, violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, none of their multitude, none of them, nor shall there be wailing for them. The time has come, the day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is on their whole multitude. For the seller shall not return to what has been sold, though he may still be alive, for the vision concerns the whole multitude, and it shall not turn back. No one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity. They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle, for my wrath is on all their multitude. The sword is outside, and the pestilence and famine within. Whoever is in the field will die by the sword, and whoever is in the city, famine and pestilence will devour him. Those who survive will escape and be on the mountains, like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, each for his iniquity. Every hand will be feeble, and every knee will be as weak as water. They will also be girded with sackcloth. Horror will cover them. Shame will be on every face, baldness on all their heads. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They will not satisfy their souls, nor fill their stomachs, because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. As for the beauty of his ornaments, he set it in majesty, but they made from it the images of their abominations, their detestable things. Therefore I have made it like refuse to them. I will give it as plunder into the hands of strangers, and to the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they shall defile it. I will turn my face from them, and they will defile my secret place, for robbers shall enter it and defile it. Make a chain, for the land is filled with crimes of blood, and the city is full of violence. Therefore I will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they will possess their houses. I will cause the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction comes. They will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priest, and counsel from the elders. The king will mourn. The prince will be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the common people will tremble. I will do to them according to their way, and according to what they deserve, I will judge them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord." Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 7, with some background notes. The prophet Ezekiel lived and prophesied at the time when the kingdom of Judah was conquered by the Babylonians. He was a contemporary of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived and prophesied in Jerusalem during this time, while Ezekiel lived and prophesied in Babylon as a captive. Ezekiel had been taken into captivity in 597 BC, along with King Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim is the king referred to in the last verse of our chapter as the king who would mourn when Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed in 586 BC. I'm reading verse 27 of our chapter. The king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the common people will tremble. The king here is King Jehoiakim. Now, who is the prince that is referred to in this verse? The prince is Zedekiah, the puppet king who was installed by the Babylonians when Jehoiakim was taken into captivity. Zedekiah was the last king of Judah and ruled from 597 BC down to 586 BC, when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. During these 11 years, Ezekiel prophesied to the captives already in Babylon. He prophesied that it was only a matter of time before Jerusalem would fall to the Babylonians and the temple would be destroyed, and most of the rest of the Jewish people would be either killed or taken into captivity. Now, in chapters 4 and 5 of Ezekiel, we saw a series of dramatic object lessons that Ezekiel acted out to portray the coming siege of Jerusalem. Now, in chapters 6 and 7, we have two prophetic sermons that Ezekiel gave predicting this coming fall of Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah. In chapter 6, in the first sermon, we saw that the terrible sin of idolatry was the cause of God's coming judgment. Now, here in chapter 7, in the second sermon, we have a further announcement and description of this coming judgment. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for Ezekiel chapter 7. Doctrinal point number one, there is an end to God's patience with sinful people. There is an end to God's patience with sinful people. Five times in the first six verses of this chapter, we have the word end mentioned. That is, the end had come for Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah. There is an end to God's patience with sinful people. The kingdom of Judah had reached that point. Now the wrath of God against sin would result in judgment. The period of God's patience with Judah was over. Now his eye would show no pity, and they would be spared no longer. Verse 4, my eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity, but I will repay your ways. And verse 9, my eye will not spare, nor will I have pity, I will repay you according to your ways. They would reap what they had sown. There is an end to God's patience with sinful people. You know, this has always been true. Remember what God said before his judgment of this world with the flood. I'm reading Genesis 6:3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Genesis 6:3. God is gracious and long-suffering, but there is an end to God's patience with sinful people. Let me ask you, is it possible that you're thinking that because you've been getting away with some sin now, that somehow God doesn't see you, or that somehow there will be no day of reckoning? Listen, it is because of God's patience that you have been spared God's judgment. Lamentations 3:22, it is because of God's mercies we are not consumed. Have you come to repentance because of your sin? Remember, there is an end to God's patience with sinful people. Doctrinal point number two, there is a day when God will judge sinful people. There is a day when God will judge sinful people. Verse 12, the time has come, the day draws near. The day here is the day when the Lord will allow the Babylonian army to sweep in and conquer Jerusalem, and destroy the temple. Again, verse 10, behold the day. Behold, it has come. Doom has gone out. The rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. Israel had budded and blossomed, but it was not with good fruit. No, it was with the fruit of arrogance and wickedness. Therefore, God would use the Babylonians as his rod of correction and punishment. Verse 11, the day had come when property had no value, because soon it would all be in the hands of the enemy. Verses 12 and 13. Jerusalem would have no one to defend the city. Verse 14. Those who tried to escape would be killed by the sword. Those who stayed in the besieged city would die by plague or starvation. Verse 15. The sword is outside, and the pestilence and famine within. Whoever is in the field will die by the sword, and whoever is in the city, famine and pestilence will devour him. We saw in chapter 6 that from the survivors of this tragedy, God would preserve a godly remnant. This godly remnant is in view here in chapter 7 in verses 16 through 18. They not only mourn the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple, but they repent because they realize that it is because of their iniquity that God has allowed this to happen. They would realize that this was a day when God was judging his sinful people. In this day, the people would throw away their money into the streets because there was no food to buy and gold and silver had no value. Verse 19. In this day, God would allow the pagan Babylonians to enter the temple, God's secret place, and desecrate it because Israel had already desecrated it with their idolatry. Verses 20 through 24. In this coming day, there would be no peace, and every rumor or vision or communication about a possible peace treaty or help from some source would prove false. Verses 25 and 26. It was too late. The day of judgment was upon them. There is a day when God will judge sinful people. The day of Ezekiel 7 certainly looks forward to a day in the future when God will judge this sinful world. This is the day of vengeance spoken of by Isaiah in Isaiah 61, verse 2. This is the day of God's wrath of Revelation 6, 17. This is the coming tribulation of the future, and it may not be too far off. Right now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, 2. Have you been saved from the penalty of your sins by receiving Christ as your personal Savior? Today is the day of salvation. Make sure you receive Christ as your Savior before it's too late, because there is a day when God will judge sinful people. Practical application. What is the real value of your silver and gold? What is the real value of your silver and gold? Verse 19, once again. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. When would you ever throw your money away in the streets, like we read of here? Answer, when it has no value. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. That's the way it was in Judah on the day of God's wrath when the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem. And that's the way it will be in the future, in the day of God's wrath. When God judges this world in the future, all the money in the world will mean nothing. No one will be able to buy an escape from the judgment. The wealthiest person in the world will have no advantage. The real value of your money is determined only by how it is being used now for the glory of God. If you are a true Christian, you can use your money for the glory of God by supporting His work throughout this world. In that way, you can take it with you. This is a good question for all of us, isn't it? What is the real value of your silver and gold?